Paul Revere's mother said, "I don't care where you think you have to go, young man. Midnight's past your curfew." Mary, Mary, quite contrary's mother said, "I don't mind you having a garden, Mary, but does it have to be growing under your bed?" Humpty Dumpty's mother said, "Humpty, if I've told you once, I've told you 100 times, don't sit on that wall. Would you listen?" "No." Columbus' mother said, "I don't care what you've discovered, Christopher, you should have written home." Michelangelo's mother said, "Mike, can't you paint on walls like other kids? Do you know how hard it is to get that off the ceiling?" Abraham Lincoln's mother said, "Again with the stovepipe hat, Abe, can't you wear a baseball cap like other boys?" And Barney the dinosaur's mother said, "I realize strained plums are your favorite, but Barney, you're beginning to turn purple." Batman's mother, y'all know Batman? Batman's mother said, "It's a nice car, Bruce, but do you realize how much the insurance is going to be on that thing?" Albert Einstein's mother said, "But Albert, it's your senior picture. Don't you think you could do something with that hair?" Styling gel, mousse, something. Jonah's mother said, "That's a nice story, Jonah, but where have you really been the past 3 days?" Superman's mother said, "Clark, your father and I have discussed it, and we've decided you can have your own telephone line. Now, will you quit spending so much time in phone booths?" Now, Thomas Edison's mother said, "Of course I'm proud that you invented the light bulb, Thomas. But now can you turn off the light and go to bed?" Mothers give advice, don't they? And my mother gave me a lot of advice. I read of a California mother this week, a mother of 10 expecting number 11. She said that one day her 3-year-old son was making even the simplest chores extremely difficult for her to accomplish. And she said that he was on my heels no matter where I went. When I stopped to turn, I would stumble over him and trip over him. And several times I patiently asked him, "Can you not find something else to do?" And he said, "That's all right, Mommy. I'd rather be in here with you." And after several more frustrating incidents, she asked him, "Well, why are you acting this way? Why have you got to be right under me all the time?" And he said, "Well, Mommy, my Sunday school teacher last Sunday told us that we needed to walk in Jesus' footsteps. But he said, I can't see Jesus, Mommy, but I can see you. And so I'm trying to follow in your footsteps." Isn't it amazing what we can learn from children? This morning in the book of Proverbs, there are just 2 verses that I want to share with you. In verse 7 of chapter 1, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise instruction and wisdom. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." As you have been doing, those of you who have living mothers, and maybe especially those of you whose mothers are no longer with us, you have probably been thinking about Mom, and for some, this is a very painful day. And for others, it is a day when you'll get together and celebrate and enjoy the company of your mom. But like you, I've been thinking about my mother. She went home to be with the Lord 3 years ago. And I was thinking about some things that my mother said to me. Things that taught me life lessons. Now, I need a little help to get started on these, so I won't somebody to respond, some of you mothers, and see if you can complete the sentence, because these are some things that my mother constantly told me. For instance, whenever I was going anywhere that required an overnight stay, and I was packing an overnight bag, Mother would always remind me, make sure you take some clean
underwear.
And I'd say, why? Why? Come on, tell me. In case you have an accident. Sitting on the living room floor, watching television, how many times did you hear these words? Don't sit too close. Why, Mama? It'll hurt your eyes. You'll be cross-eyed. Or you have to wear these things. All right, at the supper table, Mama would always say, clean your... Why, Mama? The children in China or Africa would love to have that food. So you clean your plate. And then if I would ask Mom if I could go maybe to my cousin Paul's house or somewhere, and I'd say, Mom, can I go so-and-so? Mom would say, ask
your daddy.
Ask your daddy. And you'd go to daddy, and you know what daddy would say?
Ask
your mama. So as I was thinking about those things, I thought, you know, that might make a pretty good little sermon. Let's take each of these and learn just a little life lesson, and then we'll be done. I want to draw some life lessons from clean underwear. You won't ever have a preacher preach on clean underwear again. Mama always warned and said, you know, to wear clean underwear in case you were in an accident. And with that little piece of advice, my mother did a lot of things. Now, if I had a friend with me when she said it, it embarrassed me to death in front of my friends. That was the first thing. But she was teaching me other things too. She was teaching me about good hygiene and personal grooming, with a lesson that you wasn't apt to forget, because she was teaching me that life is uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen. She was saying, don't be caught unprepared in case you're in an accident. And most importantly, she was teaching me a sense of a healthy shame, if you please. She taught you that there were things to be ashamed of, things that you should always do. You should do things right, even if it was unseen. You know, in a kid's mind, when Mom tells you to pack clean underwear, what difference does it make? Nobody's going to see them. Except Mama when she has to wash them when you come home. What difference does it make? Nobody knows. But Mom knew that if you were in an accident and they had to cut your clothes off of you, and you were there in the operating room and you had on dirty underwear, it'd be kind of embarrassing, wouldn't it? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, be sure your sins will find you out. The secret things. Yeah, our sins are like items in an archaeological dig. No matter how much something is covered, unless it is completely destroyed, it will eventually come to light. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews says it this way in chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. So Mom was teaching me to always do right, even when nobody's looking, even when nobody will know about it. Do right so you won't be embarrassed. And you can be sure your sins will find you out. If you question your mother's wisdom, you can put it to the test. Wear dirty underwear, and you're guaranteed to get in an accident. So be prepared for the unexpected. And then Mom said, don't sit too close to the TV. because it was bad for your eyes. Now, boy, there's a ton of truth in there. I could preach on a long time on that one. I read about a professor of zoology at the University of Alberta who exposed 20 chickens to 24 hours a day of television for 2.5 months. She got one of them government grants to do some of that important work. And she found that those chickens exposed to continual viewing 24 hours a day, 2.5 months, some of them developed glaucoma, while others went totally blind. And they staggered around in a daze like they didn't know what was going on. Do you know what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 and verse 34? Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Your eye is the lamp of your body." I'm putting it in a modern translation. "When your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light. And if your eyes bad, your whole body is full of darkness." And Jesus and moms were telling us long time ago that getting too close to the TV, getting too close personally, getting too close intellectually, getting too close psychologically and philosophically, it is bad for your spiritual health. Now, I'm not one of those preachers that says you need to go home and throw your TV out the door and burn it in a pile and all of that kind of stuff. But be careful what you see. Be careful. The light or the darkness of the message that is being transmitted. There's a lot of good that can be done with all of our technology, and there is a lot of bad. You remember we used to sing a song as little children, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." Paul said it this way in the New Testament in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. He said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Mom's oft-repeated warning was for the good of our eyesight. But in hindsight, as it turns out, it was also good for our insight. Because Hollywood and the movie industry and the TV industry, the entertainment world, they want to shape how you think about life. They want to shape your morals. They want to shape your personality. They want to shape how you dress, where you go, what you do with your free time. They want to teach you all of that. Be careful. Paul said, don't be conformed. Don't be cut out by the mold of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, through the hearing of the Word of God, through the study of the Word of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to shape and mold your mind and your thought life. Because you and I are really what we are in our thought life. What we think, what we meditate upon, that nobody else sees. Don't sit too close to the television, it'll hurt your eyes. Pretty good advice. Make sure you take clean underwear. Pretty good advice. You might get in an accident. And then Mom would say, clean your plate. Because after all, those kids in Africa or China would be tickled to death to have what you waste. My mother would say, if you take it out, if you put it on your plate, you got to eat it all gone. That's the way she'd put it. Eat it all gone. For some of us, that was my, and at least for me, that was my first introduction to missions. That's the first time I ever thought about other people besides me and my family. It discouraged waste and greed. It caused me to think of others who were less fortunate than myself. It promoted thinking outside of my own little world. And it also taught me to finish what I start. To finish what you start. To see a project through. It reminds us that a job worth doing is a job that's worth doing well. Paul in Galatians asked the Galatian Christians this question. He said, "You did run well. What did hinder you?" They got sidetracked somewhere along the way. I know a lot of Christians that way. They run well to start with. They start out studying the Bible and reading the Bible, and they run up on some places they can't understand, or some hardships and difficulties in interpretation, and they just give up on it and say, "Well, I just can't understand." They don't finish. There are those who start Sunday school, or they start tithing, or they start prayer, and they run well for a while, but somewhere along the way, they just kind of drift off to the side. Galatians chapter 6 says, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." Jesus came into this world, the Bible said, to seek and to save sinners. And when he was hanging on that cross for you and me, he hung there and he said, "It is finished." He finished the task that God gave him. The Apostle Paul came to the end of his life. He was about to be executed, to have his head severed from his body. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He finished well. And when my mom used to tell me to clean my plate, because there were others that needed that food, she was teaching me to finish what I started. And then there was one other piece of advice. She would say about a lot of things, "Ask your father." Now, I'm going to tell you, as a teenager, that is a frustrating thing. You go to mom because she's soft-hearted. She's tender-hearted. You can get your way with mom. And mom didn't want to tell us no, so, you know, she'd say, "Go ask your daddy." And you go ask dad, and when he didn't say ask your mom, a lot of times he'd say, "No, I'm sorry, you can't go do that." "Well, why?" He said, "There ain't no why to it, just because I said so." That's what my dad would say. But be that as it may, it is still good advice to always ask your father. Christians, when you are faced with an important decision, when you're not sure what to do, when you don't know which way to turn, when life caves in all around you, the best advice that I could give you is to ask your father. Ask your earthly dad if he's here, of course, but ask your heavenly father. Back in that book of Proverbs in chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Ask your father. Things my mother said to me. Her teachings, her brief little quotes of wisdom. The writer of Proverbs said, "They shall be like an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck. They will follow you all the days of your life." And moms have been reminding us for generations life lessons that are essential. Wear clean underwear and take clean underwear with you. Life is uncertain. Expect the unexpected. Take care of those unseen issues in your life. Get them right with Him because God sees them. And be sure your sins will find you out. But Jesus died on the cross to cover those sins if you'll confess them. Don't sit too close to the TV. Don't get too close to the things of this world. Don't conform to the world's standards. You're called to higher things. My daddy, I would go to dad and I'll say, "Dad, can I go do so-and-so?" And he said, "No, that's not a good thing for you to do." And I'd say, "But all my friends are doing it, Dad." And he'd say, "Well, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump off too?" Some of y'all have said that too. If everybody else stuck their head in the fire, would you? Don't get too close to the things of this world. They're temporal. Clean your plate. Some of us need to finish some things that we started. Well, I started to do this. I know I need to do it, but I just, you know, we all make excuses, don't we? Finish what you start. I purpose to live for Christ. I purpose to go to church. I purpose to do this. I promised the Lord I'd do so and so. Then do it. Follow through. And then ask your Father. Because if He gives you permission, it'll be all right. If your mom is still living, thank her for all that she's done for you. And especially if she taught you to love Jesus. I'm going to close with one other illustration. We'll have the invitation. And at the close of the service, there are some roses here that the children, I think, are going to give mothers. And there's a gift for each mom here. And we'll allow you to come by and pick out. All the bags have the same thing in them, but the bags are a little different. So every mom gets one as our token gift to you today. I read about a mom who was walking with her 4-year-old daughter. And her daughter picked something up off the ground and she started to put it in her mouth like kids will do. And she said, "I took that item away from her and I said, 'Don't do that.'" And she said, "Why not, Mommy?" She said, "Because it's being laying out here in the ground and you don't know where it's been and it's dirty and it's got germs. They're invisible, you can't see them, but it's got germs." Said the little girl looked at her just with total admiration. And she said, "Wow, Mommy, how do you know all that stuff?" And the lady said, "I had to think quietly for a minute." And she said, "Well, honey, all moms know this stuff. It's on the mommy test." "Mommy test?" she said. "Yes, it's on the mommy test. And if you don't know all this stuff, you can't be a mommy." And the little girl walked on with her mommy for a couple or 3 minutes. And she looked up and she said, "Oh, I get it, Mom. So if you don't pass the test, you get to be the daddy." Aren't mommies wonderful? Mommies are great.